Obviously, it was what we did was a bit of a segue for where we've been the last couple of days, and I wasn't doing something just to take our minds off it. I was needing to change the energy a bit because we got in a very intense kind of place, and it felt like in order for us to end, we need to just have something that holds it. It holds the work a bit differently. But of course this ritual, which is ritual, is written, as I say, by Bill Gray, and the meditation is a condensation of that, which I've used before. And Ali and I have worked the Rollright ritual versions of it at the Rollright Stone, so it's a very, very familiar place. So when I was sitting in our tea break, I was sitting with, okay, I think we need to do something that's still connected to the work but a bit different. And then this sort of this meditation came up in it. It's a meditation that's all about transitions, and because partly what we've been looking at this weekend is a major transitional point. But it's also got a kind of a holding, shaping quality in it, in that you begin with this entrance point in the east where you're challenged by the sword holder. You move round to the south, where the great stone is, which is the place of fire and the place of the rod. We then go round to the east, to the west, to the place of the mother, to the enclosed cave, and then come back round to the north, where we find the shield and the shield holder. And it was sort of interesting, people's experience, because my experience was, as you know, with these things, obviously I remember the meditations, I've done it before, but I'm actually describing what happens to me. So I found myself first of all on this white path, and I realized I was carrying a lantern in my hand, and I seemed to be hooded and cloaked. And then I realized suddenly, oh, this is twilight. It's because I first of all thought it was daytime, but no, it's not. It's sun is setting, and in my case, when I was challenged by the guardian, I had an old penny which had the sort of Britannia kind of symbol on it, it's very, very old. You could barely just make it out, really. And so that was interesting. Went into the circle, which is again familiar to me, so it was the familiar Rollright circle I normally go to. And then the stone I went to is called the King's Stone, and it was much bigger actually in the meditation than it is in reality, and there was this sense of not just the cruciform Christ, but a sense of sacred kingship and layers of something going right back into the past. So there was something about stepping into that and joining that, and the consecration of the will. When I came round to the cave of the mother, that was again a surprise, because interesting, and you talked about Sulis, it's very much like Sulis's cave for me, steamy, couldn't really see her except as a sort of a presence but a very strong presence, and they're making my mark, and then they're stepping into the mother, and was stepping in and stepping out at the same time, and maybe I was being born through her, but certainly there was this sense of being turned inside out, so that the circle I come back to and the landscape I come back to is not the same. That's not obviously different either, but I know it's not the same. And then this holding up of this very intricately patterned shield that I had to find my place within. And so then there was a sense of stepping into my place, and then from there stepping into life. You know, so there's a. So for me, what was very visible, was very strong, with all the different transitional points somewhere. And anyway, it was kind of great to remember this, and great to remember the work that Bill Gray has done, because Bill was a truly remarkable Kabbalist who brought together the ancient traditions of this land with the Kabbalah. And in a way, this ritual, because it holds that sense of transition, powerful transitions, but it's also a very complete holding field in itself somewhere. Because you've got the four directions, we've got the elements of the sword, the wand, the cup, and the shield, and the sense of gathering in a circle, which is like the gathering of the round table, and the sense of life, you're stepping into life and death, really. And the sense of the archetypal masculine, archetypal feminine. So there's an enormous amount of balance in this. So it wasn't in the front of my head as something to come back to as we kind of end the weekend, but actually it was very useful to sort of bring all the kind of stuff that we've been looking at together.
The coin you were carrying, it's really interesting because Bill always used to carry an old penny with Britannia on it.
Oh, does he? Oh, well.
Yeah, he'd always carry one around with him. And he'd often left them as a token at different places, at sort of sacred places.
Oh, wow, how extraordinary.
So there's definitely a connection you'd made there, I think.
God, that's really interesting, because, of course, it was very surprising, because I don't suppose I've thought about those old coins for a long time, and yet that was the one that was there. God, that's really interesting. Yeah. Okay. No, and I think in a way the thing that's extraordinary, one of the really extraordinary things I always think about Bill and the Rollwright things is that he used to cycle from Cheltenham up to the Rollwrights, which is a hell of a uphill cycle, actually.
It's ridiculous distance, and he used to cycle it at night so he'd get there at the dawn.
Yeah.
on a real old sort of three gear sort of Sturmey Arch bike. I mean, it was a big, heavy old bike.
Yeah, it's one of the many awesome things about Bill, I think, actually. I mean, it always has struck me that, because it's a hell of a way. How long do you think it? How far do you think it is?
It's got to be 40 odd miles.
Well, I think it has, doesn't it? It's a hell of a way from the Rollwright store, from the centre of Cheltenham, which is where Bill lived. Yeah. It's got to be something like that. So it must have taken him all night to get up there, really, wasn't it? I would have thought.
Yeah.
But the thing about the Rollwright, I mean, actually, if you're interested in it, Bill has written a great book called The Rollwright Ritual, which is still available by Skylight Press, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, there's an old.
Yeah, I've got that, but I think Skylight Press are still selling it. So if you're interested in it, it's a really interesting ritual. Because it comes out of Bill's literal field work of him tuning into that site, and tuning into the spirit of that site, and creating a kind of a ritual which has enormous. It's incredibly condensed. It's when, you know, Bill actually had another ritual called Seasonal Occult Rituals, which has an equal condensation. But somewhere there's something about this ritual, the Royal Ritual, has always felt like one of the deepest places of his work, because it almost holds the whole kind of tradition inside itself. So if you're interested in it, get hold of a copy of it. We're going to be looking at some of this again in the new course, when we're looking at how things have developed out of the past. But the thing about this this meditation is not just as a sort of an aside, really. It's a way of looking at some of the transitions that we've been looking at this weekend in a slightly different way. Because the what happens is, if you think about it, you come out of the we begin by sitting in our homes, in our meditation posture. We then take this journey to this mysterious circle where we are challenged, and we have to cross the sword bridge. Now, there's a certain way in which the sword bridge is the bridge across the abyss. And so when we find ourselves, I'm interested, Rob, you found the circle strange. It is exactly that. We find ourselves in this strange circle. And I mean, folklore terms around the roll rights, they always say you can never count the roll rights in the stone, there are too many to come. I mean, it's literally not true, of course, but it's pointing at that mysterious quality that the circle of stones has. So we're suddenly in a kind of art-like place. And then what happens to us from there is we enter into a kind of that place of the consecration of will. We enter into really an aspect of Chokhmah. From there we enter in, from there we enter into the Bina cave. And we work with the Bina cave, we kind of we make our mark, we are recreated, reborn by that. And we come back to the mysterious circle, making our mark upon the shield, and enter and find ourselves in a new place. And from that new place, we are reborn back into life. Now, this is a completely a different way of completely describing the work that we've been doing this weekend. And in a way, it's got a wholesomeness to it. It's always very difficult to work at this top end of the tree, but in some ways, Bill did something really remarkable with this, where he took the basic elements of the Kabbalah, put them together with very ancient, listened to the very ancient spirits, and created a ritual that, while it's quite simple seeming, has enormous kind of application. And so if anybody's interested, I really encourage you to get to buy the book and almost certainly we'll be looking at it again in the new course, if not again in this one. But because there's something really important about this business of fusing opposites together and working with transition. There's lots of ways you can look at this ritual, but I'm very struck today by the number of, within a short space of time, the number of transitions that you meet.
Which book is this you're suggesting?
It's just called The Roll Right Ritual.
Sorry, the...
ROLLRIGHT, The Roll Right Ritual. You can get it from Skylight Press, so you can probably get it from Amazon as well.
It came out at one point as by Standing Stone and Elder Tree.
Oh, it did, didn't it? That's true. Yes.
I think that was, yeah. I don't know if that was Llewellyn's. Anyway, so you might have on Abe or somewhere like that. You might find it as in that version.
Yeah. So
that's a copy I had.
Standing Stone and Elder Tree. Yeah. It doesn't matter which you have. I mean, it's the same. It's basically the same book, really. Whatever kind of version, but. Well, it's interesting. In fact, Bill's work is interesting in relationship to this whole territory. And again, some of this we'll explore more in the new course. But he does an enormous amount of work about looking at this idea that he calls the Sangreal, then the Sangreal sacrament, and which is about this kind of very ancient Western tradition that is being the living bridge between the worlds. And the idea that the Sangreal is the kind of the human being who holds the, who is the sort of Christ figure who holds the in their body and the blood the living light that is transmitted onwards in a way. And in a way, I think the other, I suppose, actually what we seem to be doing, the Bill Gray plug show, he wrote another really fascinating book called Concepts of Kabbalah. I mean, he's written a lot of good books, actually, like thoroughly recommend, but his attributions are totally different to the ones that I use, because he generated his own, but that doesn't matter. If you can be a bit relaxed about things not having to line up the same, his writing is very, very interesting.
Just come across a book called The Old Sod, written by Marcus Claridge. No, it's rubbish. I wouldn't bother with it.
I'll tell you what, Marcus, I always think you ought to write your own book. I think you ought to write your own biography of Bill.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting. I mean, because of course he wrote his autobiography.
I know.
which hasn't been published, which in a sense would be the sensible thing, but I think it wasn't published in that form because he's rather scurrilous about various people in the occult world. Most of them are probably dead now.
Actually, I suppose they are. Thank you, Berlin. It probably doesn't matter anymore.
There's a few still around. Bob Stewart and Marion Green, people like that.
Mm, yeah. Oh yes, Marion Green is still around. That's true. Yeah.
He died in 1992.
I think one of the things that actually is interesting, we're talking about Bill as we finish, because one of the things I think is interesting is things I really dislike, actually. Myself, I, to be honest, Marcus, I don't really like the title of that book, The Old Sod.
Was that Alan? Alan. He used it as some sort of recognition thing with Bill. He said something about if you